And if you are standing on the promises of God recorded in His holy word, let's hear a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Great to see you today. Glad to see all your smiling faces and a few that aren't smiling, but most are smiling. And so it's good to see you today. Praise the Lord. We can gather together. Good to see Edie here. Edie, I would say arise and walk, but at least you're... but you're here. Thank the Lord for that, and we're grateful for the healing that's taking place in your body. And it's just now. I'm sure it's tough. I'm sure it's tough. But boy, you got Roger there, right? All right. Okay. All right. Roger just stands there with a little smile on his face. A wise husband. All right. Well, good to see each of you. We're excited about what the Lord has in store for us today. And so let's look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today that we can stand on the promises of God. Lord, in a world that's turned upside down, in a world in which we don't know from week to week, from day to day, what's going to happen, we are thankful that the Word of God is our rock and our fortress, our refuge, our high tower. Lord, we're thankful that the righteous run into it and are saved. And so, Lord, we're thankful that we have the promises of God that never fail, that never change, that we can be anchored in today. Lord, I pray today for Cross Lanes Bible Church. I pray that you would bless us as we're gathered to worship. I am thankful that Edie could be here today. Thank you that she is healing from her broken leg, and I pray you continue to bring healing to her body. I think of others like Lynn, who is at home still. I pray that you would be with her and bring healing to her body and give her strength. And then, Lord, we heard today about Danny Stribling, who is very ill in the hospital, that you would be with him and bring healing to his body. And then, Lord, there are many, many others, Lord, in our church family or connected to our church family who are in need of a touch from God and a healing in their lives. And so, Lord, wherever they are at, whatever they are experiencing this morning, we pray that as the great physician, you would bring healing and encouragement. We pray for our country today. Lord, we need you. We need physical healing from the coronavirus, but more than that, we need a revival in our land. We need spiritual healing. We need the gospel to go forth unhindered and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we pray that you would do a work in our land. We have an election, a very important election coming up in a couple months, and we pray that your hand would be involved in that. And Lord, those who would, from the president on down, that would best represent the gospel, best represent the Word of God when it comes to things like the sanctity of human life and religious freedom, would be put into office by your good hand. And so, Lord, we trust you today. We just look to you, and we pray, Father, that as we stand on the promises today, that your promises would be very real to us, that they would encourage us and give us courage. And Lord, your promises would guide us along our path. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, this morning we are continuing in the Word of God to look at prayer. We've been focused on different aspects of prayer in the Old Testament and the New Testament from people like Nehemiah and Elijah and Paul and Jesus himself. And we're going to continue with that this morning with a very unusual passage on prayer found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. So open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles is perhaps one of the least familiar books in the entire Bible. And when you read through the book of 1 Chronicles, it's much like walking through an old cemetery. Let me explain that. In a graveyard, in a cemetery, most headstones tell a similar story. You have the name of the person, the date they were born, the date they died. You go to the next headstone, you'll have the name of the person, the date they were born, the date they died. And you'll see that as you go through a cemetery. But then sometimes out of the blue, out of nowhere, you stumble upon a unique headstone. Yes, the headstone shares the name and the date of birth and the date of death, but then it will give a brief narrative of that person's life. Well, today's passage speaks volumes about an obscure Bible character. First Chronicles is kind of like walking through a cemetery. It begins with an endless list of names and dates of births and dates of deaths, the genealogies of Scripture. In fact, if you have 1 Chronicles open, just glance, beginning in chapter 1, just glance at chapter 1. It says, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Meleah, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and it goes on and then talks about the sons of Jephthah, and it says who they were, and goes on to chapter 2, and it just has this list and list and list of names. Most of these names are unusual names. Many of them are hard to pronounce, as you just heard from me a moment ago. And let's be honest, for most of us, when we start to read through 1 Chronicles, what do? We speed read, okay? Even if we're not speed readers, we speed read. We read a few verses, say, wait a minute, how far does this go? And then we zip on by. You say, Pastor Dave, you've never done that, have you? Yep, okay. You know, you start reading this list of names and it gets boring and you think, okay, God will forgive me if I just go on through till I find something that connects with me a little bit more. Well, I understand that. But then, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there are two verses that just jump up at us and they grab us, and the Holy Spirit of God has placed them there for us to take notice of. Follow as I read 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. Today, beloved, I want us to learn some valuable lessons about prayer from the life of a little-known Bible character by the name of Jabez. Today, my message is entitled A Faith-Filled Prayer, and we begin by looking at the faith-filled man of prayer. The faith-filled man of prayer. And we begin with the question, who was Jabez? The Bible gives this list of genealogies, and it gives all these names, one after another, and says very little about any of these people till we come to these two verses. And then for some reason, it tells us about Jabez. So, who was this man? Who was this man of prayer? Well, first of all, let's look at his name. His name was Jabez. Jabez literally means son of sorrows or one who causes pain. Son of sorrows or one who causes pain. In other words, his name meant pain and sorrow. Now, how about you? Maybe you don't like your name. But maybe you thought, maybe I ought to change my name to another name. I just don't like it. But how would you like to have the name Pain? That's your name. Everywhere you go, people greet you by saying, hi, Pain. How you doing? Good to see you today, Pain. Well, that was what his name meant. That was Jabez. That would be like us going around and calling somebody a pain in the neck, you know? Your name is Pain. Okay, but why was his name Pain? His mother called him this name, Jabez, because she bore him in great, great sorrow. Not simply the pain of childbirth. All mothers, when they give birth, have a degree of pain. It's common to bringing forth children in the world, but this goes beyond that kind of pain. Her pain was deeper. Her pain was long-lasting. And we don't know exactly what that pain was that caused her to name her son Pain. I've got a theory which I'll share in a little bit in this message. But we don't know exactly why she called him Jabez. Perhaps she was dealing with the pain of deep poverty. Perhaps dealing with the pain of a serious illness. Perhaps the pain of emotional loss. Perhaps she was a single mother and maybe this was an unwanted child. We don't know exactly why she called him Jabez. But Jabez's birth apparently was like rubbing salt in the wound of the family. This was Jabez's birthmark, his name. This would go through him with him through the rest of his life, his name. This embarrassing name would always be with this man. His name, pain and sorrow. But what else can we find out about this man of prayer? According to verse 9, his life was challenged and yet it was respected. It was challenged and respected. And now here's a theory from reading some historians and all on his name of pain. There are many those who, although the Bible doesn't tell us exactly why he was called Jabez, there are many historians that believe that he was born with a severe physical handicap. We don't know for sure, but perhaps. And that could explain his name of pain. When he was born, he was handicapped, it was severe, and he lived a life of pain. But look at verse 9, it says, "Now Jabez..." Named Pain. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Okay, he was more honorable than his brothers. Apparently, he was from a large family. And yet the Bible says that he stood above the rest of his brothers in the way he lived his life. He was more honorable than his brothers. The word honorable in the Hebrew here in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 literally means heavy. Or weighty. He was more weighty. He was heavier than his brothers. Not speaking of a physical girth. But what it is speaking about is what we would call today gravitas. He had a respect about him. He was apparently a man of integrity. He was impressive. He was noteworthy. Every once in a while you meet somebody, when they walk into a room, everybody stops what they're doing and looks at that person. They command respect just by their very presence. It is said in history books that Abraham Lincoln was like this. He'd walk into a room, people would stop and look at him. You would perhaps have known others like that. It appears that this is how Jabez was. He was more honorable. He had gravitas. He was a man of integrity. He was impressive. He was noteworthy. It's interesting that at his birth, everything was going against him. At his birth, he was perhaps handicapped, disabled. At his birth, he got a terrible name given to him. And yet now, he seems to be a man of influence and prominence and honor. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. His name was Pain. His life was challenged and yet it was respected. But what about his faith? What about his faith? I believe his faith was sincere and focused. Look at the beginning of verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Remember, as we go through 1 Chronicles, nothing is said about hardly anybody in these endless genealogies, and not a lot is said about Jabez, but it does say this. He called on the God of Israel. He prayed. He prayed. He cried out to the God of Israel, Jehovah God, and so he deeply trusted God. He deeply trusted God. It's evident in his prayer. The prayer we're about to read in verse 10 is a petition from a man named Payne unto the God of heaven and earth. His prayer, I believe, flows from his pain. And his prayer showed incredible faith. He was a man of faith, and he prayed a prayer of faith. And that brings us to point two. We looked at the faith-filled man of prayer. Now I want us to look at the faith-filled words of prayer in his prayer. We asked, who was Jabez? Now here's the question. What did he pray? What did he pray? His prayer is very brief, as it's recorded here, but it is very powerful. And I've said this before as we've looked at prayer. Don't underestimate the power of brevity in prayer. Prayers do not have to go on and on and on and on to be powerful prayers. Sometimes the most powerful prayers are brief, but they come from the heart and they're directed to God Almighty and they get done what needs to be done in that prayer. And so the faith-filled words of prayer, let's look at them one by one. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." The first part of his prayer is this, "Bless me, bless me." And this is a prayer of anticipation. Bless me. He was anticipating God answering his prayer. And a key word here in this phrase is the word indeed. Bless me indeed. What Jabez is saying here as he prays to the Lord is, bless me with every blessing, God. Bless me with an uncommon, overwhelming sense of your presence. Bless me indeed. You see, Jabez wanted to experience everything that God had for him. Jabez wanted to experience all the good things that God, a loving heavenly Father, had for him in his life. It was like he was praying, Lord, break the clouds and gloom that has covered me since birth. He was born in pain, the Bible says. And yet it's like he's crying out and saying, Lord, bless me indeed. Lord, it hasn't been easy. It's been a rough time, but Lord, I am seeking you. I am seeking the blessings that only you can give. You see, I believe that Jabez, in his walk with God, didn't want to simply survive, but he wanted to thrive as a follower of Jehovah. And my friends, I believe that we should also pray bless me prayers. We should anticipate that the God of heaven wants to bless us spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about name it, claim it. God wants us all to be millionaires. No, that's not the context here. This is not the context anywhere in the Bible. The context is he wanted to hear from God. He wanted to know God. He wanted a relationship with a living God. And he wanted all of God. And so he says, bless me indeed. And folks, we need to pray prayers like that. You see, too many Christians settle for less than God's full blessing. Too many of us walk through life and every once in a while we toss up a prayer heavenward. We come to church and we attend a worship service and we leave and we pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, I've done my part this week. And yet all through the week we have opportunities to know our God. All through the week, we have opportunities to open our heart and soul to God and cry out and say, Lord, I need your blessing. And if I don't have your blessing, Lord, I might as well not be here. And I believe that's what he was saying. Lord, I want you to bless me. And we need to say, Lord, bless us. Bless me as your child, as a follower of Jesus Christ. Bless my family. Lord, may my family walk with God each and every day. Lord, bless our church. May our church be a powerful, powerful place for God as we live out our faith, as we live out the Word of God each and every day, wherever God puts us. Lord, bless America. We need your blessing, Lord. We're going so far away. Lord, bless us indeed. Bless me. Bless my family. Bless our church. Bless our country. Bless us indeed. So this faith-filled prayer begins with bless me, a prayer of anticipation. And then secondly, stretch me. Stretch me, a prayer of vision. And enlarge my territory. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. That phrase, enlarge my territory, enlarge my coast, simply means, Lord, increase and expand my borders. Increase and expand my borders. And I believe Jabez was saying, Lord, I want more opportunities to serve you. I want more opportunities to impact people on earth for eternity. Someone has called this God-sanctioned ambition. God-sanctioned ambition. Much of our ambition can be in the flesh. But then there's that God-sanctioned ambition, which isn't about us, but it's about Him. And I believe that's where he was at in this prayer. When he says, enlarge my coast, again, I don't believe it was, I want more money, I want more chariots, I want this and that. I believe it was, Lord, enlarge my vision for you. And we would say it this way, Lord, enlarge my vision for the gospel. Enlarge my mission for missions. Enlarge my mission that the Word of God would go forth through my life and lips and power. The man who was named Payne, the man who had so much going against him, had a vision, and he prayed a prayer that would pull most of us out of our comfort zones. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. How often do we pray outside of our comfort zone? How do you check on that? Have somebody listen to you sometime when you pray, who hears you pray all the time, and let you know, did you get dangerous at all in that prayer? Did you get out of your comfort zone? There are certain comfort zones we have. Lord, bless our family, bless all our children, bless our grandchildren, bless our church, bless our missionaries, bless. But is there anything in there that kind of pushes us out of our comfort zone? Lord, yes, bless all these things, but Lord, you've placed on my heart a friend who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, and you've put old Harry on my heart and mind, and Lord, I want to be an instrument to share the gospel with him. Open that door soon. Lord, you've laid it on my heart. This person has a great burden upon them. And Lord, I just want to be an encouragement to them. And Lord, this is what I want to do with your help and grace. You see, I believe that in this prayer, Jabez was pushed far out of his comfort zone. He says, bless me. Who's anticipating God's blessing. Then he says, stretch me. I want my territory, my coast to be enlarged. I want to have a vision for what you can do. And then the next part of his prayer was a guide me prayer. Guide me, a prayer of humility. It says, and that your hand would be with me. And that your hand would be with me. This shows the condition of his heart as he prayed. He wasn't saying, enlarge my coast because I want to be a big man. Enlarge my coast because I want everybody to look at me and say, Jabez, even though his name isn't so hot, he's a powerful, great man. No, that wasn't his prayer. His prayer was that God would go with him. That your hand would be with me, a prayer of humility. He is saying this, God, whatever happens, guide and direct all that I do by your divine hand. Hand in the Old Testament is symbolic. When we read about in the Old Testament the hand of God, it is symbolic of God's power, God's control, God's strength. And so when Jabez is praying here that your hand would be with me, he is literally saying, Lord, may your control be upon me. Control all that takes place in my life. May your hand be strong upon me. May I have the power of God upon me. May your strength be evident in me. You see, as Jabez prayed, he realized without God's guiding hand, there could simply be no blessing. And really, the other extreme, without God's guiding hand, there would not only be no blessing, but there would be total failure. Jabez would fulfill the name that his mother gave him at birth. Pain. Sorrow. But Jabez recognized, I want the blessing of God, and the only way for that is the hand, the power, the strength, the control of God to be upon me. And folks, it's so important that we pray, every one of us pray, guide me prayers. Prayers that flow from a humbleness of heart. Lord, I'm going to crash. I'm going to burn. I can't make it without your hand upon my life. Guide me. You see, folks, we're small, but God is big. We're weak, but God is strong. And nothing of eternal consequences happens apart from the good hand of God upon our lives. Nothing. We like to take credit for things. We like to be the ones who get the pats on the back, and yet we have to realize that biblically, without the good hand of God upon our lives, He's the one who brought us into this earth. He's the one that watches over us through our time here. He's the one that ultimately, if we know Christ, takes us to heaven. Nothing of eternal consequences happens apart from the good hand of God on our lives. And so we need to pray sincerely and humbly, Lord, guide me. Guide me this day in my walk. Guide me in the things that I say and the places I go, that I could be salt and light, that I could have an impact for the kingdom. Guide my family, guide my church, guide our leaders in Washington and in Charleston by your good hand. Guide me, a prayer of humility. And then Jabez ends his prayer with this, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause Jabez pain. And that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. This is a keep me prayer. Keep me, a prayer of protection. Keep me from evil. Lord, protect me from the attacks of the evil one. Protect me from the attacks of Satan. Why? What a humble spirit. Keep me from evil. Why? That I may not cause pain. He didn't pray, keep me from evil so I don't mess up my life, although that's a good prayer. But a man who was named at birth pain, and his mother was experiencing, for some reason, great pain, and she took that out on him and named him pain. He said, I may be called pain, but guess what? I don't want to cause others what? Pain. Isn't that incredible? I don't want to cause others pain. You see, as Jabez stepped out in faith in this prayer, he was saying this, I believe, as he ended this prayer, Lord, as you enlarge my coast and whatever you do for me that's a blessing, I don't want that to cause pain to other people. He was thinking about others even as he asked for the blessing of God. He didn't want others to be caused to stumble because of anything he would do or say as he tried to follow the Lord. You say, I really believe this. Jabez wanted to live up to one name, not his given name, not the name of pain, but the name of God. He wanted to live up to the name of God, not his, not pain. Folks, we need to pray, keep me from sin prayers. Keep me from evil. We need to pray that. Why? Because we live in a culture that is just infused daily with wickedness and sin and everything that goes against the holy name of God. In this sin-cursed world, there are so many ways that you and I can stumble and fall and cause others pain. My heart was heavy this week. I'm sure many of your hearts was heavy this week as we heard, and it happens too often, but we heard of a Christian leader. A Christian leader who had to step down from a place of prominence in a large, large Christian ministry because of sin and scandal in his life and family. And folks, I don't know about you, but when we hear those types of things, it should break our hearts. We should find no glee or happiness. And one of the reasons that should never bring happiness to us, because when something like this happens, it hurts a lot of people. It hurts the cause of Christ. In this situation, it has hurt the students and the alumni, thousands and thousands that have put their faith and trust in this institution and this man. And pain has been caused. And I don't say that with any type of joy. And I say that to say this, by this God placed upon my heart many, many years ago that I needed to pray every day this prayer. Keep me, Lord, from evil. Keep me, Lord, from evil. I don't want to fall into sin. And listen, I am very capable of sinning like any man has ever sinned in the history of the world, like David of old did, like others. I am very capable of doing that, but I pray all the time, Lord, keep me from sin, because I don't want to bring pain. Pain to my wife, pain to our family, pain to this church, pain to the cause of Christ. And so, Lord, folks, this isn't just a throwaway phrase. We need to be praying this. Keep me from evil. Keep my life pure and clean. Keep me from giving into temptation. Keep me from the snares of the evil one, because I don't want to cause pain to others. I don't want to cause pain to my Lord and Savior who I love. What a wise prayer. What a great prayer of faith. And that brings us now then, we've looked at the faith-filled man of prayer, the faith-filled words of prayer now in closing. The God-filled response to prayer. The God-filled response to prayer. And we answer this question, so what did God do? This man of faith prayed a prayer of faith, and then how did God respond to that? And this might be the most exciting part of this story. The very end of verse 10 says this, so God granted him what he requested. Isn't that good? It's almost like an afterthought, but it sure isn't. So God granted him what he requested. You see, God heard his plea. He heard his plea. And beloved, God listens to our prayers. He is a God who listens to our prayers. The problem isn't God's ears. The problem is our lips. God isn't deaf. He hears us, but we need to pray. We need to lift up our voices in prayer to God. He hears, but part of the problem is we don't ask. And just as Jabez, we need to lift our voices in prayer to God, to a God who hears our pleas. He heard his plea, and then he answered his prayer. You know what? Our loving Heavenly Father desires to answer our petitions. And He answers our petitions according to His will. And we won't get all into that. I preached on that over the last several weeks, how we ask according to His will, His character, who He is. And if our desires don't match up with His desires, we say, Lord, change my desires so I'm in line with You. That doesn't take away from the fact the Bible often tells us, cry out, ask the Lord. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you can hardly even comprehend. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. John 15:16, whatever you ask the Father in my name, in my will, according to His character, He will give you. So my question is this. Is Jabez any different than you and me? Is he any different than us? Hey, listen, all of us in our lives have burdens. Maybe it's your name. You don't like the name you were given at birth. Jabez could react to that, respond to that. Maybe it's something, maybe you don't like the way you look, or you don't like the sound of your voice, or you wish you had more money, or you wish this or that or the other, and there's something that just holds you back from the blessings of God. Jabez understood pain. And yet pain was not a barrier to prayer. Pain drove him to prayer. And so, when it comes to praying, Jabez is no different than you or me. We all have our struggles. We all have those things we wrestle with in our lives, those things we wish were different. But when it comes to prayer opportunity, we have the same prayer opportunities that Jabez did. And when it comes to the God to whom we pray, it's the exact same God. At the end of the verse, so God granted him what he requested. Folks, God can bless us. He can answer our prayers. And those prayers can transform our lives. But we must pray. We must pray. And so as we pray, as you pray today, as you pray tomorrow, as you go to prayer this week, focus on the God to whom you pray. Humbly bow before Him. And as you are focused on Him and His attributes, His holiness, His righteousness, His mercy, His love, and His grace, as you focus on Him out of a humble heart, let your requests be made known unto God. Pray in faith. So who was Jabez? Who was this obscure man? He was a man with everything going against him, even his name, but he was someone who didn't let troubling circumstances keep him from God's very best. In fact, he experienced the blessings of God like few others in history. And so, what about you, my friend? What about me? Someday, people are going to be walking through a cemetery someplace, and they're going to come to a tombstone, a gravestone, and it's going to say, David W. Buckley, born May 13th, 1958, dash, and then another date. You know what? The first date and the second date are really not that important. What's the important part of it? The dash. Because the dash represents all the time between being born and dying. And folks, that's the time we have. And I can't fill in that last date. I wouldn't want to know that date if I could for some reason. But until that second date is filled in, I want that dash to speak of someone who is committed to their God. And beloved, how will we be remembered? How will I be remembered? I want to be remembered by more than just two dates. I want to leave a legacy like Jabez did. A legacy of God's grace. A legacy of a life empowered by prayer. A legacy of a very broken, imperfect person that by the grace of God had the privilege to walk with God and to speak to Him daily through prayer. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, it is so easy to skip over these two verses. And I don't blame people when they're reading through 1 Chronicles. A lot of people never even read through the book. But those who at least try to do it, reading through these genealogies, I don't blame them if they just skip totally to the end of the book. And yet, Lord, if we do that, we miss a great blessing. We miss hearing about this man named Jabez, born in pain. But the prayer of his heart was that he would not cause pain to others, but that the blessing of a holy God would be upon him. And in turn, he would bless others. And so, Lord, I pray today that we would be men and women and young people of prayer like Jabez. That yes, as your humble servants, we would ask. We would petition your throne because your Bible tells us we should. And then, Lord, when you grant us the desires of our hearts, when you grant those requests, that we would be careful to give the praise to you, and Lord, whatever you do would be used to bring blessing and help to others. Lord, if there's anyone in this room or watching by live stream right now that does not know Jesus as Savior, Lord, the reason that we have to walk humbly with you is because we are dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible says, and we deserve hell. We deserve to be separated from you for all eternity, and yet through your grace, the Bible says, for by grace we're saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, it's not of our works, lest we would brag, we would boast. And so, Lord, for those that don't know you as Savior, may the Spirit of God speak to that person's heart, and may they respond to your wooing. May they run to Jesus, and by faith, in the grace of God, be saved today. Then, Lord, for those of us who know you, may we grow in our walk with you, and Lord, may it start in our communication to you and with you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.